They're telling me they're organised again, get the reinforcements. And I'm on the sure starter that night, but the barrels were looking really good. And they had each unit, each battalion, had a firing in between the boat, walk going between the boat were good, and they were different colours. And we were up there, and the barrels were left maybe 200 yards. And we had a few casualties there moving up. When daylight broke next morning, it was a terrible state. Jerry's lying out of the shop and all the fatty black spitting away with the sun. And we got right through there, quite a few trusses there, marathon out there, pretty hard up there.
So can we look at Alamein a bit longer? You moved in this through this corridor, didn't you, with this,
yes,
with the Beaufort's gun past them. Who were you with at that time?
I was with the Bay Company, the Colossal Bay Company, Major Waller.
So when he moved forward with the company, you moved with them, did you?
No, we were behind him, you know, well through, and then different columns.
And you followed the column through?
Yes, we followed the column.
What was your job? What were you supposed to be doing? Your own personal job?
Oh, my own personal job was just, you know, getting things organised for the whole of us. We had the group there ready and moving up.
So you had the food and so on to follow them through?
Yes, follow through.
Was it easy to find them?
Oh, it was easy to find them. Mm-hmm.
There must have been a tremendous amount of noise.
Well, there was. About 400 guns firing all the time. It was daylight.
Could you see okay?
Could see okay. No. I went right up there, got as far as Alfida though. Just outside Tunis.
What do you remember of Marath? What's your memories of Marath?
Well, it had been pretty rough. See, we were behind a bit, we were being with the trucks. And had a hard do there with these anti-tank traps, you know. They couldn't get the tanks across, but I put faggots in to make a roadway across.
You say it was Major Worrell's company. Did you hear him blowing his hunting horn as they went in?
No, I couldn't hear it. It's always nice. Yeah. He's quite a good fellow, Worrell.
So you weren't actually in any front line movement. You were always behind the company.
Oh, fine, no.
Were you able to get your supplies through in the Marath situation?
I push your supplies. I always got them through.
You must have been under fire yourself.
Oh, yes.
Did you lose any friends there?
Oh, I cannot remember offhand. I can't remember, I don't know.
So did you have to cross over the ditch at Marath, or were you this side of it?
They cut off on the coast road, on the coast road there.
So you must have seen, quite a lot of men killed and lying around, and the company must have lost quite a number that you were following.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a sight that morning on Birthday Light. I wasn't likely to be in the juries under that marriage.
You say you moved on to Enfidaville. What happened there?
Well, I got up right there, and just before dark, we got to Enfidaville. And all the came on not to unload the trucks. So at 3 o'clock in the morning in the conference, they wanted to keep the conference was finished, they just said orders to move back to Alexander. You know, and just rush back. When we were moving out, a black captain from London, you know, was coming up. This way, I said, Malcolm, for you there, it's finished. And went right down, we were 3 days in Alexander. And we went up to Cobrit. For engagement, Sicily.
That was training for it, was it?
No.
What kind of training were you doing?
Oh, just a normal training, you know, depending on the territory, what you had to take.
Did you have to get on and off ships and so forth?
Yes.
Invasion practice?
No.
Do you remember any particular big scheme that you got involved in?
Oh, the biggest one I had was on the Swally Bridge. That was the one.
So you sailed off for, obviously off for Sicily. Do you remember what date it was?
The 10th of July.
What's your memories of the actual invasion?
Well, you know, when we're going in, they said Jan's killed from North Africa for overhead cover. But when the Shoguns opened up from Sicily, they have parachute men and they just drop them anywhere. Or when we were in then, we'll pick them out the water. And Yanks, as soon as them guns opened up, they were away and left. But when we were ashore, you know, the semi were a bit worried later than when they knew it was all right. And of course, for a recognitioner, transport what they had, horse and car, something, you know, to put a kit and heavy kit to take through. But they were glad on the way because they hated Mussolini.
So you're pretty well received.
Glad.
And what was Sicily like as a place to fight in and move in? A bit different from the desert.
So bad because we moved mostly up the coast road, so the Yanks come in the other way in the west.
It must have been different from the desert.
Oh yes, we're different. Partly normal, you know, as we are here.
The roads and the villages and so on.
Mm-hmm.
After landing, what did you do?
Well, the sort of battalion started to move forward, you see. We moved up behind them. Of course, Jerry was strapping them out. He told me we were Lentini and that way. But when we got the Primus Early Bridge, and we had a look, we said, Echelon was pretty well back. And we 8 to 12 miles back, and then we had a couple of three to the trucks, and I found out where the company was, you know, just outside the bridge, and I just a ration load of hot meal in that, and I just finished, and all of a sudden there's two armoured cars come through over the bridge, eye ties, and we're shooting at them, and we're 2 pounders put them outside of the fire, so the three ton of truck when I came up on them, that colour, so I just, they hopped off. I was left, I had no rubber curse, my rifle was in there, and on daylight work, there was a young lad, a company runner, had been wounded with his officer, and I took him down up the road there, and the RSI was playing on, I said, did touch him, look, I said, he's all right, there's a high-tie line there, I said, he could have had me come in down, so when I passed the high-tie, I said, medical, someone come down the road. We got down and I got organised there. The next morning, I had to walk all the way back to 5 miles. I was in big containers to take that. And when I was going through the 8th Battalion, I met Harry Clasper. Harry got the commission then with his anti tank. He said, where are you going with us? He says, just don't do damn thing. And when I got back that night, it was about 9 o'clock in the morning when I left there, and I got there about 5 o'clock at night, walking all the way back. And QM was sitting there for Jock McPherson, the Army Sergeant, and he goes, a glass of whiskey for bringing his container back. Not his stuff.
When you took your food up to the company after it had been in action, you must have had more food than there were men to eat it.
Oh, yes.
With the casualties.
Oh, there was marvellous where they used to get the rations up, you know, even when we're in the desert. We knew not to walk in the two ways to go to the rations, and then he used to sell the 1500 weight, pick cars hard up the road to where he was stationed, pick them up.
So, they must have relied upon you a great deal.
Uh-huh.
The men would want the food.
Mm-hmm.
Very important job. What was the scene on the Primosoli Bridge? What did you see, actually, when you were there?
Over Primosoli Bridge, there's a lane where run by the side of the river, and a stink alley, we used to call it, was up many bodies lying there. And of course, he had his 88s on the bridge, you see, and couldn't get any over. Well, at night, say, well, we did eventually get over. I used to have to go to the carrier, take the Russians up on the carrier. Well, when we used to pull on they too, because he had Jerry pulling the Russians in as well. But a pal of mine was killed, he got his commission. He was with my company, car, he used to have a florist shop in Jackson Street. And when I went up that night, Bill said, oh, he said, I'm a bit nervous early. And we were in the action next morning, 5:30. And Bob said, oh, I said, you shouldn't have been sitting in the commission, Bob. He said, he wasn't usual, right? I think he was a really empty tape. He wasn't usual, yeah. He got killed just through the bridge. Sniper got him in the back of the head. Terrible to do that, the bridge. I said, lost to see you there, and he sat me down, you know. And when I been back at Echelon, I was sent up on a burial party with the Sergeant Major D Company. They buried the both on the side of the bank, you know, and fired the body over the top. And I moved them, when the things moved up and climbed down, they were taken on the Catania and cemetery up there.
Who were they? What were the names?
Major Robinson, Bill Robinson, he belonged to Sunderland. And came in with a sailor was, you know.
Clark, was it?
Clark, Nobby Clark. Apparently, what had happened, they'd been on a spin at that time, you see. And when they come back, as soon as the dust used to rise and all the trucks, used to Jerry used to get around with him, he just bolted him. Got scared, yeah.
Because it wasn't usually army practice for the commander and the second in command to be together, were they? They usually kept them apart.
They shouldn't be in a part in the way they don't, they never go. Well, then again, say, just go on a swim and attack.
Were they badly damaged, the bodies? Were they?
No, the one body was more blushed, I think, than I'd done it.
So you had a new CO and a new second in command to find. Who took over?
Mark took over there.
So after Primosoli Bridge, where did you go then?
Well, this was a Primosoli Bridge. We went there long and then we put them back, you know. Come back there. There's a big amphitheatre. It's been on the telly there where Monty was doing the lecture. All everybody was there, you know. Monty says, I've got some good news for you. He says, you're going back home. And Big Ed called, oh, you know that job. It was for Norman, you see.
And you left Sicily for home. It must have been pretty good news for you, was it, to coming home?
Well, why?
Do you remember the journey back? Do you remember the journey back to England?
Wasn't much, nothing happened actually. We got a clear road space over there.
Where did you land in England?
York, up in Scotland. That's where we went from, we landed there. On New Year's Day we landed there. November the 5th, our guy was there. And we stuck there for a couple of days because the Yanks were coming in on the Queen Mary. And they had to go down to South Coast. When we moved down, we went to Saffron Walden, the station there.
Did you get leave?
Yes, we got 7 days there.
Wasn't very much after being away for so long.
I could always remember when we came down, we got a Carlisle. We came down by train from there, you know. CMPs were standing on the station, and I was just, alright, kind of German, said I land one this one, three wanted the end of the year, always coming through. But there was one workshop that skipped up there, like Manchester. And by the time we got through to Manchester, the police had picked him up before straight through.
When you came home, how were you received when you came home? Did they know you were actually coming home?
No.
You surprised them?
Well, as our pump and bank, you know, the 8th. Nobody had no the 8th army was coming home. I had a kid here and I had to put the soldier on the boat, you see, because I couldn't go back to this. And when we were down in the south there, we just were putting the huts on these cool fires this Sunday, and everybody threw all the cool sweat and huddled on the top, shaking. That was very nice, you know, being a Saffron Walden, because Rab Butler, you know, he used to come up there with the Mayor Wilson.
And when I was in the mess, you know, on the sergeant's mess, because I thought he was not very sick of him.
Was it here that you got your 8th Army Medal ribbon? So that proved you were veterans?
No, I could prove what I said was Africa Star, was just a star south. And we have an 8th Army. And then when the 1st Army come in, they got Africa Star with a 1 on. I tell you, I knew the base well, I said, I have this.
There were a lot of units around Saffron Wandon. Did you get involved with any of them?
No, I didn't get involved with them.
Were there Americans in the area?
They were Saffron Wandon, no.
How did you get on with those?
Well, they never bothered with us. We never bothered with us. The Canadians were there as well. The Canadians didn't bother with them.
What were you doing there?
I was just getting organised again, you know, getting up to strength.
You have new drafts coming in?
New drafts coming in.
When did your training start for D-Day?
I started practice straight away.
What kind of training was that?
Well, I couldn't say much, you know, at the time. I just went out doing shoots and that. Got the reinforcement and getting the strength. And then when I was up at the fair, I went to RHU, or reinforcement hurling units. I took a draft down there. But when D-Day started, well, actually, from there, I had to go down to Shirley, where there was a sealed camp, you know, nobody could get in. And I took 6 blokes down there, it was a 6 battalion. When I said, George Leslie, well, say who there, he says, I made a mistake. He says, Simon Young, he says, the 9th battalion, there was somebody called Nicholson. So I went back. And the colour sergeant A company was with me. And all these regulars were moving on to all the shots from that place. And all these regulars and our base were at a town at the table, or good job. So they're going to volunteer in the years. So we got that sick of them. I mean, Billy Pratt says, I go down to the room, see if there's any drops going away there, battalion. I mean, Billy went across there. But when I got back there, the battalion, just to say where I was wounded later on, go up to strength, you see. And I was service to establishment at CSN. So I seen the brigadier, I went from an interview with Morgan, the brigadier. And I said, I was sitting there, moving to the colour sergeant to CSN, which meant they could transfer me to either the 8th or the 9th. If they wanted the strength, I could go to any battalion, you see. So I studied a bit, I said, I'll revoke the sergeant to stay with me there in the 9th. So I went back and I was back with Ken Wood. I was feeling a betrayal the same night.
What are your memories of moving off to D-Day, you know, getting on the ship and moving across to France?
I didn't go on D-Day.
Oh, you didn't go, right.
3 days later, I was in the
And you caught up with them 3 days later?
I caught up with them.
What was it like in Normandy?
Well, the shambles there.
In what way was it shambles?
The shelling and the bombing all the time. Went up to the coast, up to BLO, which the battalion took. It was a bit rough there.
Do you remember fighting in the bocage? In the small fields and small lanes?
Oh, well, it was always bound there with these hedges, you know. And the Yanks used to win these click-clicks, so they would recognise each other. But you could be one side of the hedge and you're in with it. I was about there to fight in.
Have you got any memories of Normandy, what you were doing?
Oh, well, there was not much of what we were doing there when we got up there. But I went to the company again. And I was wounded. I was flown back from B.O., you see.
Where were you wounded? What place?
A place called Hotchart. It's at St. Jerusalem. A very heavy wound, and I was wounded there. And we were flown back to Swindon.
Before Hotochi, there was the battalion was in a very severe action at a place called Langevre. Do you remember that? Across the cornfield.
I can't remember right now, because maybe before we joined the battalion.
That's lost a lot of men there.
No, I lost a lot there.
So when you say you were wounded, how were you wounded?
Well, I went down a runner for a particular position, you see. And ten wood had been down. So I said, I can't let it down. There's a big wood, but a lot of open space now. 100 yards of open space, and there was more on that all the time. So I had a wait a bit. And I said to the runner, I said, about a half an hour, I said, he stopped moving. And we'll move forward. Well, he'd occupied this wood. We just went to wood. We had slip trenches there. But just got to the slip trench, and I never what was coming across. The tree took the blast and blew me in the lad into the trench. And I said, thank God for that. The dust cleared away, and I had my rifle up ahead there, and the dust was far over. I tried to get up, and I looked. There was a patch of my knee there. And, I just said to the lad, I said, oh, get under the blower. But the battalion is coming, tell them not to send the men down till dark, so the place we mortared. And next day, when they started moving down, the Russian truck come up with the nappy stuff, so I had this nappy stuff under the platoon, and the company were right there. And I went back, and pulled back down the little place where the company commander was, and my knee was getting worse, so I nicked the nappy stuff out. And 6 o'clock at night, a truck came down with the Russians, took us straight back to hospital, 149 Field Ambulance, and I went from there to BO at the hospital there.
And how did they treat you in hospital?
Well, it settled pretty well. I had jolly prisoners there for orderlies. And the money I had for the nappy, I raised for them, for my brother, to come down and draw the money. And I said, that's what a fool I was, I could have kept it. Because I expect that you will have kept it. I had a good time when we came out to Swindon, Spatton Road Hospital.
There's a gig that brought you back to England?
Yes. Now I've come by plane. Come back by plane from there, from Naval. It was RAF Russians, you see, so we're doing champion. And I went from there, I was transferred up to Leicester Hospital on a train. Leicester General. I was there for a while. Then I went to Nuneaton, the other side. I was there for a bit. Then I went to Margaret Harbour. From Margaret Harbour, I went up to Bury St Edmunds. The hospital there were away, and I went down to Bedford, Kempston Barracks in Bedford. I was there for the time I was wounded. I was there for about 4 or 5 months.
What date were you wounded?
In July, sometime in July.
What was the damage to your knee? What had happened to it?
Oh, shrapnel in the knee.
And had it broken the knee at all?
Oh, well, it was badly, and it was stiff, you know. It still gets stiff there yet. The doctor said up there, it should be worse and worse. And of course, the plaster broke the ear up, you know. And this one's dead altogether. So I had to get an ear for this one to help his own.
You were in quite a number of hospitals, weren't you?
Yes.
Did you get the chance to see your family whilst you were in England?
No. Not like in the heart of the war. I came home. I just came home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then about 5 o'clock train next morning.
So you got over your injury, of course, and you were on your feet again. What happened to you then after you got active again?
Well, I got to the 4th Royal Battalion. And the battalion had been broke up, because I didn't do a brigade had been broke up. And the 6th and the 8th had come home. So the QM I had, his wife was to come up to say that the wife and all the mother's union. And I said, Ted says that I've been broke up, he's back over the 6th Battalion. I thought I was going to the Burma, but I didn't. You say, the 7th and 7th Army, the 6th and the 8th came home. So I said, well, just get on the tent and ask him to get me posted back to the 6th. I said, because I'm not going to crusade, I'm going to go back and get up out of there.
went to 6th Battalion and I quite pushy trained on there.
So you didn't go back to France, did you not?
No, I didn't go back.
You joined the 6th up at Skipton, was it?
Skipton. I remember it's called just little village from there, 1 6 mile from Skipton. Well, the company I was with there, and the CEO was living up there, George Leslie Wood. And of course, I asked him, got a Skipton overpass, and I walked away down there. And I was transferred from that company down to Skipton. And I was up there, a wall down there, a wall, you know. And George Leslie says to me one day, he said, oh, I say, somebody get down to the mess. I walked, I said, well, I've got a wall down there. Bus should come to the city, pick us up. No. He said, I'll arrange with Ken for a 1500 weight. Take it down, bring you back at night. And this house I was living in with the wife, the woman was a Jehovah's Witness. And you know, the head ladder, they used to come there on a Sunday. And you know, you come there with tea, and the wife would be kicking me out of the table, don't mention the cult. Jehovah's Witnesses.
What were you doing at Skipton?
I was just helping the colour sergeant, see, I was practice up the service, to see, cushy town a bit.
How long were you there?
I was kept until I got my release in October.
This would be what, 1946, was it?
Yeah.
Or 45?
45. October the 17th, 1945, I was 18 years old. My brother didn't come over with the battalion until January of the following year.
Where were you released from?
Spencer Barrett.
You got your civvy uniform?
Civvy uniform, I'd have all been there, but you had cookies.
So you never got back to the 9th after your wound, and no, you finished up with the training people?
No, see, I got released from the 6th.
Were you pleased when you were out, when you got out? Were you
I should think so. I thought I had enough.
Did you continue with the TA afterwards?
Oh, well, I had my usual meetings of TAC, where you organised it again. We carried it on.
What was the worst time of your army life during the war?
It was hard to say. Section 23, I mean.
And you've continued with the regimental association, haven't you?
I kept that word.
And you still go to the meetings?
I still go to the meetings for every second, fourth Friday in the month, Sunday in the month. And just when the light infantry, you see, we take them light infantry, you know, go down to the barracks. Is that again?
Shrewsbury,
and the other one,
Winchester.
Winchester.
And you gave a good old natter with your friends.
Ah.